Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench and radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas.
KL7R, KL7R. On the slopes of the Mendenhall Glacier near Juneau, this is M0HBR in London. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R. I saw you on Echolink here, and I thought I'd surprise you with an early morning wake-up, but I think you've been up before me here. It was kind of an unusual Echolink experience this morning. Somebody connected me to the Alaska Reflector, and they were having a statewide net. They have a net all over central Alaska on linked 2-meter radios and also IRLP and also Echolink. So all the Alaskans were all hitched up, and they were talking about forest fires in near Anchorage. Apparently a couple of trees bumped up against a high tension line and lit a I don't know how many 100-acre fire, but that's pretty common for Alaska in the summer there. Kind of dry here this spring. What you been up to, Bill? Do you have a holiday on Memorial Day in England? And if so, what do they call it? M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, good morning from London, Mike. It's here. It's Monday, May 29th, and we're into Solder Smoke 24. It's a holiday here. We would get at my work. We would get it off for the American holiday, of course. But it's also a holiday in the UK. Just works out that way. It's not for any specific purpose here. It's just what they call a bank holiday. They have a number of days through the course of the year that everybody just takes the day off, and today is one of them. And in the UK, they're known as bank holidays, and it just happens to coincide with our Memorial Day. So, yeah, it's a day off for everybody. It's very quiet out there. I get up early these days because I'm sure you've got this also. At these latitudes, it's hitting light very early these days. It gets to the point here where it gets... getting light at 3:30. You're quite a bit further north, so you're probably getting light there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I bet it's never really getting dark up there, Mike. Finally, the forest fires. Well, that's dry times, huh? I guess we haven't had that problem here. It's been raining a lot, although they keep telling us there's some sort of drought going on. But what's happening with Solder Smoke here on the bench? I saw some email from you on the QRPL list about two-tone generators. Wonder how that's gone. And wonder what's happening there on the workbench. KL7R, M0HBR.
Well, I made pretty good progress there. I had double sideband going. And then I thought, I simplified it, and I only had a single transistor in the output. So I went back to push pull, and I fought that for a full week. I was seeing all these spurious stuff in the output, and I was having a hard. It's hard to get your head wrapped around the massive differences in level of these signals. You know, you start off at oscillator level, and then you wind up at tens of watts, or you know, wind up at watts, 5 watts, and it's just hard, and especially hard for me somehow to get my to understand power versus volts. You know, I understand they do it with current. I understand this intellectually, but it's just hard for me to get the feel for it. I'm working on it here. anyway, so I wound up taking the double sideband, and I been fiddling nonstop for a week. I made it into single sideband. I put two crystals in series, and I lopped off the upper sideband, and I was able to pull. I didn't have to pull the crystals far, and I was able to pick a shunt cap that made the frequency response something like what I wanted. And then I spent the rest of the week trying to get the levels up to something reasonable. And I just maybe an hour ago I finally got a Class A amp with enough drive to drive these IRF 510s and the resistor at the input, the 50 ohm resistor at the input. Anyway, it's been a real learning experience there, Bill. M0HBR KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. Okay, well, great, Mike. Sounds like it's great progress. And if you're about ready to make SSB contacts, then you're about ready to be awarded the Nobel Prize for home brewing. This is what Frank Harris, I forget his call, but he's got a great book on home brewing online. I'll have to dig up the URL to let the listeners know about it. I'll put it on the website or probably on the Gadgeteer blog. But he talks about, you know, evolving or progressing as a home brewer, starting out with CW rigs and then moving through double sideband. I think he discusses double sideband rigs, but he goes and discusses how if you finally get on the air with a single sideband rig, you should be awarded the Nobel Prize for home brewing, because there are very few people out there who get that far. So congratulations. Yeah, well, it isn't easy. Sometimes I wonder why we do it as a hobby when you're stuck in the very unpleasant and frustrating period where you can't get the thing to work right. But well, you know, of course, it all works out, and it's worth it when you get the thing going and you learn something in the process. You know, on the one of the interesting things about double sideband, I'm sure you discovered this, but I discovered it as I was testing some of my rigs for linearity. You know, with an SSB rig, you need the two-tone generator in order to get that sideways hourglass pattern on the scope that you can, you know, use that to adjust and make sure that you're not flat-topping and overdriving and doing other unlinear things. But, you know, when you're running the DSB rig, to get the same pattern, you only need one tone. So another advantage of DSB makes testing a bit simpler. And for my double sideband rigs, I just have a little audio oscillator that cooks along, I guess at about 1 kc, something like that, and I plug it in there, and it generates the sideways hourglass pattern, and I can sort of tell if I'm overdriving things or if anything is not quite linear in there. I guess it doesn't do too good for looking for the kind of mixing products, the IMD products that you'd be worried about, and that you could learn something about from a two-tone injection there. But anyway, it's I get away with just one tone here on the DSB rigs. Hey, and I had some DSB success yesterday. I told you I've been fooling around with this 20-meter portable rig, and I built a little MOSFET amplifier that takes it up to about 5 watts. My antennas here are just pitiful, but there was a really strong Italian station. He must have had his beam pointed up in my direction. He was really booming in here, so I gave him a call yesterday, and I worked him, and he's in Salerno, in Italy, and so I was happy. The rig is still over on the workbench. It's all kind of laid out and open, but worked into Italy with the 20 meter rig yesterday. So now I'm thinking about the antenna improvements. So one of these days I'm gonna have to put the soldering iron down and head up onto the roof and improve the antennas a little bit. Like I told you, I think I'm going vertical. KL7R, M0HBR.
All right. Well, I've made a couple of contacts with this. It's got you can detect the upper sideband. It's got it's a difference between S9 plus 10 and not moving the meter, so whatever that is, you know, that's a few dB, but it's enough to make me happy, and it definitely got some shaping to the audio now, so I'm not wasting as much power on transmit to Spectra that nobody's listening to, and I'm getting right at maybe a little bit more than 5 watts out. It seems like that's a little bit light, but that's where I'm at now. I fought for 3 days to get it up from 2 watts, so really a frustrating challenge. Yeah, is that book you're talking about, is that from transmitter to antenna? If so, the link I have doesn't work anymore, Bill. And as far as two-tone, I was looking around for some for a sound card software that did two-tone test. And I couldn't find any. There's got to be some out there, but I couldn't find any. So I just used the sound card edit program that we used to make this podcast, and just generate a tone. So I generated 700 hertz, and then I made a new track, and I said generate another tone, and I made that 1900 hertz, and I made 60 seconds worth of MP3. It looks a little different, the MP3 spectrum analyzer inside of a Winamp shows more frequencies than I would have expected. Harmonix generated, I don't know if those harmonics are generated from the MP3 process. I know MP3 is a lossy process, because I know when I made it just straight wave file, there was... it was a lot narrower band spread. There was less spurs in the audio band. Anyways, I used it as a tone generator. My throat started giving out, saying "Hello, radio." You can only do that for about 15 hours, and then you got to wait for another day to do it another 15 hours. Or Bill, KL7R.
Well, that's cool. Using an MP3. Two-tone generator, yeah, it's probably worth an article for Sprat or QRP Quarterly or something. That's a kind of a neat way to do it. Hey, I'm just thinking about your project now. Let me get this straight. You started out with the DSB rig, crystal controlled on the 80 meter frequency. Now, are you just putting a filter, an SSB filter, there to lop off one sideband without any kind of heterodyne there? Is it just sort of taking a DSB rig and then putting a filter on there to lop off the thing without any kind of heterodyne oscillator? That sounds like a really neat and simple way to come up with sort of a fixed frequency SSB rig. Is that it, Mike?
That's it, Bill. The idea came to me from looking at the PSK warbler. I have crystals for 3932 megahertz, and I was able to pull the oscillator up to 3933, the carrier up to 3933 or 4 or whatever it is, and put my lower sideband on 3933, and it turns out the crystals being on 3932 were really easy to tune. To chop the wrong sideband off, and there was no real carrier to deal with because of the double sideband. So
Oh, that's neat. That is really neat, because you kept out some of the complexities and the headaches that come from the traditional heterodyne oscillator and all that. Wow, that is really cool. That is, it sounds like it, because of the standard crystals that you're using there, it does sound like the kind of thing that could be, reproduced for a club or something like that, and get a bunch of people going on it, and then you'd all be SSB there on the same frequency. That sounds, it reminds me of the, it's like a more advanced and more complicated version of the Wee Willie that we were discussing. That is cool. And again, that's another potential article for the QRP literature. Well, that's great. You're not going to be able to, once you do this and once you have it set up, you're just on the one frequency there. There's no, I mean, it's difficult to wiggle a crystal at that low frequency anyway, but that's all over now that you've got the sideband filter in there, and that's fixed. All right. So, when this is all done, you're as we used to say in the old days, you're now really rock bound. You're rock bound by the crystal in the oscillator and by the crystals in the filter. Is that right?
I hate the idea of trying to figure a way to rubber the crystals around. I'm sure I can't do it, but yes. And it was just a thought. I didn't, you know, the actual generating of DSB wasn't a problem. The generation of audio into the 612 was easy. A regular PC headset will directly drive an LM. What are these? SA612. Any 602. You know, it'll directly drive one of them, a headset from a PC. The mic that I'm using is an ICOM mic that I use in my K2, and it required an op amp drive, but that was pretty easy. Lopping off the upper sideband was easy. The stupid final amplifier, I've been 2-3 weeks on it now. it's murder. Over.
Oh yeah, I know, and that's exactly been my experience. All the parts that you think would be hard turn out to be relatively easy, but once you start dealing with watts versus milliwatts, it gets hard. And that's exactly what Rocky said. We were quoting him a couple of weeks ago about the need to be called a quantum mechanical necromancy and the need to sacrifice chickens to Papa Legba. it's awful. You know, I was looking at the HF Packer website, another one that we'll have to put up on the blog. But, that's the group. I'm sure you know the group that's built this 35-watt amplifier. And they also built a little smaller amplifier intended to drive it. It's a 5-watt amplifier using two, I think, 510 MOSFETs. But a neat little kit there, and they've got the boards all laid out and everything set. It looks very nice, and I'm like you. I'm a stretch built home brewer, but I was tempted by this thing. I said, "Man, I'm gonna order a couple of those. It would be nice to have just a standard 5-watt broadband amplifier that you know will work and will work reliably, so that when you finish up the rig and then you say, all right, now I need to get it up to about 5 watts, you just take one of these things and plug it in. I guess the way we could do it is just take the circuit board pattern that they have and just buy all the parts and do it that way. But there's so many, it can get so frustrating that it would be nice to have an amplifier that you know will work without driving you nuts for several weeks. I'm sure you know what I mean. Hey, have you made any contacts in SSB mode with the rig yet? Have you talked to anybody with it in SSB yet, Go?
Oh yeah, twice or three or four times. I did it today. The band was real noisy on 80, and the guy said it was S4 in Anchorage or Kenai. He was in Kenai, which is 600 miles away, so my 5 watts are being well applied here. Over. Oh, and I'm looking through the HF Packer site. You know, I knew about the 35 water, but I did not know about the 5 water. I'm definitely gonna find that link. what I did find, have you got the W1FB QRP notebook? In there is a general purpose broadband amplifier strip, and that's finally what got me over the hump today is the final amplifier in that thing. The last uses a 2N3866. I used a 2N3053 and class A and drawn enough current to get hot. And that's what it took to get me up to 5 watts. But I'm thinking about building this 40 dB amplifier strip. It's an instrumentation amplifier as well as a it's basically DC to 40 megahertz flat and rule off after that. I think I might build one of them and have it laying around. But yeah, tell me. I have made a couple contacts with it and. And they said I was sounding good. So the new microphone, the Icon mic, and my fiddling has been to good use here. M0HBR KL7R.
KL7R M0HBR. Well, congratulations there. So I guess you're in the Nobel Prize category for homebrewers, Mike. Having made several homebrew SSB. Contacts. That's great. That's a real achievement, and I really like the way you did it too. I mean, it's a great way to make the progression. A lot of times people think, well, you know, there's a DSP rig, and then you make the progression to an SSB, to a much more complicated SSB circuit. But I mean, that's a great idea just to put the filter there in at the operating frequency. You see very few circuits like that out there, and I guess the one other that I saw was the one I sent to you by PDF that showed the NE602, just the NE602 used as a balanced modulator with RF and audio going in and then going right out to the crystal filter, but I don't think that they had the idea there of doing that at the operating frequency. I think what they were doing there was the traditional route of generating the SSB signal at I guess what you'd call an IF, and then moving it with a heterodyne oscillator later on. But you've made things a lot better there with doing it right at the operating frequency. So. Yeah, if you don't mind being rock bound, and if it's a good frequency for your area, that's great. Yeah, I know what you're talking about the W1FB strip of amplifiers. It is a very useful thing, and I found myself using it many times too. As I recall, it's just three feedback amps, and I think he's got the feedback network set up so each one of the amps is 50 ohms in and about 200 ohms out with, I think he's got 4-to-1 transformers between them. So it makes a nice arrangement there. And that's, yeah, I think those are, you know, you look at the values for the feedback resistors, the one in the emitter and the one from the collector back to base, and they're set up, I think, for that 50 ohms in, 200 ohms out setup, which is really useful. Yeah, the HF Packer. Go to the HF Packer site, and I've been familiar with the 35 watt amp, but they've got this smaller one there with 5 watts out, and it's it looks really really interesting, and it uses the MOSFETs. It's all very familiar, but you know, one of the things that causes us a lot of trouble with these amps is that you know, if you build it. If it works, if the circuit works for somebody, and then you build it, and you don't, you know, use the same or close physical arrangement, or the same kind of PC board, or the same kind of double-sided board, you could end up with a lot of oscillations, a lot of spurs, a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache. And but anyway, that HF Packer, that sort of standardized 5 watt out amp would be really really good. No, the book that you mentioned, the one I'm thinking about is Frank Harris's book. And I tried to look for the URL, but I wasn't able to do it. So make an old Buzzard transmission next time, and while you're doing it, I'll try to Google it and find the link. It's a very good book, and it's a shame that he hasn't he's making it available on a CD-ROM, which is great. But it seems like there's so many of these kind of online publishers that you could use. I was going to suggest to him that he go to that site called, I think it's Lulu, and they'll print up your book for you. But I think there's a lot of interest in that in the QRP community. He's got a lot of good ideas in there. I enjoyed the book a lot. You mentioned speakers and microphones. On my DSB rig, the 20-meter rig that we've been talking about, the microphone is a little one of these little tie clip mics that used to come with an old Sony Walkman. So it's got a Sony Walkman audio input, and the output is just a computer speaker. The thing is set up to use little Bud earphones, but it's a pain in the neck when you're working on the bench to have to walk around with these Bud earphones in. So I just hook up a little amplified computer speaker into the audio out, and it works fine. And all the way to Italy yesterday. So wow, QRP success on both ends of the Solder Spoke network here, Mike. Fine business, KL7RN0HBR.
Boy, HF has been rocking this weekend. They had the WPX CW contest, worked all prefixes, and the bottom end of 20 meters was just full. There were so many stations on, and it's still good. I was hearing 20 even after the contest, and 20 and 40. They had some 6-meter openings in the States. I didn't hear 6 or 10 open, but I did hear some 15. Really low noise and pretty good reflection. 40 meters in close here. Our net in 40. Usually I can't hear close in stations. Out 100 miles. But man, they were like 60 over. just really really loud. In the evening, close in, and far off too, is really good reflection and low absorption. I wonder if the book you're talking about is Crystal Sense to Sideband. That was a really good book. If so, that'd be cool. let's see. I was looking at the HF Packer site, and I think that's the Slim Gem. I did not find its schematic yet, but I'm gonna. And that's what I should have done. I should have. You know, there's so many of these dual IRF 510 amps, and some of them they say they put out 15 watts, and some of them say they're getting 70 watts out, and I'm getting 5 out, and I'm happy to get it. I think the guys getting 60 watts out are running 28 volts, but at 12 volts. I don't know how they're getting that kind of power how they're getting 10 watts out at 12 volts. I fiddled with output transformers so many times you wouldn't believe it. Biasing, drive. If I drive, maybe my input transformer isn't perfect. It takes a signal and splits it 180 out for each transistor with a center tap. Maybe that, my output transformer I think is right. But my I'm getting 5 watts out, and I'm happy to get it there, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. That's what's happening with my mine's not the IRF 510, but it's very similar. I think it's the MTP3055V that I started experimenting with. And I started out with a bag of 20 of them. And I'm down to, I'm down to one in the amplifier and one spare. So I'm not going to blow this one up. They're 45 cents a piece, but it's a hassle to order them. So the book, Crystal Sets to Sideband, that's the one I'm talking about. Well, you haven't blown up any of these transistors yet. I blow them up all the time. Usually, it's by fiddling with the bias current and I cook them because there's a, I don't know, with my bias circuit, if I just turn a little bit long, a little bit too much voltage on the gate, the thing just takes off and it's gone. So anyway, I went through quite a few of those. Let's see what else I was going to mention. Yeah, but Frank Harris's book, that's The Crystal Sets Aside Band. I really like that, and a lot of good pointers in there. A lot of lore. It's good. I mean, like I said, he should take it to one of these online publishers or print on demand publishers. I think there's a market for it out there. What else? Yeah, not a lot of solder melting here. Like I said, I was happy with the 20 meter DSP contact yesterday. I'm in the market for a new soldering iron. I'm ashamed to admit, Mike, that I use this standard little 15 or 20 watt soldering iron with no temperature control, no fancy tips or anything like that, and it gets to be a mess real fast. So I'm in the market for a temperature controlled soldering iron. And if any of our listeners have recommendations, please send it to me at n2cqr@awrl.net. I'd be happy to hear your recommendations. I did a major workbench cleanup yesterday. You know, I'm sure your workbench is like mine. You, when you get finished with a project, there's sort of several levels of debris laying around. And every once in a while, I have to just go in there and say, all right, it's time to fight against the forces of entropy here and put all the parts in their proper boxes. It's $42 the price for a 5-watt amp. Tell me about that. I'm looking at the message you're sending me here on the Echolink screen. What else? So a major bench cleanup. Oh. Well, I'll turn it over to you. Tell me about the $42 price for the 5-watt amp. KL7RM, 0HBR.
Well, I'm looking at the price for the 5-watt HF Packer Slim Gem, and it's $42. And if you've ever read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that 42 comes up everywhere. It's like the answer to life, the universe, and everything, I think, is what it is. And so there it is, right there. It means I've got to spend $42 to get an HF Packer preamp here, well, a driver amp. I'll go and sign up to actually get the schematic. What else did he do today? One of our listeners called and asked for an HF and 6 meter diplexer, and I looked on the net and I couldn't find one either, so I used the LC that comes in the 2006 handbook filter software, and I designed a 50 ohm Butterworth low pass filter for HF that cuts off at 35 megahertz, and a high pass filter for 6 meters that cuts in at 35 megahertz, and you just wear them up in a T, and I mailed it off to him, and I also put that on my my website. I think I mentioned that on QRPL, but so I've been busy here, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Oh, great. Yeah, software wizard that you are. I opened up LC, I downloaded it and looked at it, and it looks extremely useful, but it seems like it has a bit of a learning curve on it. And having recently struggled up the learning curve on LT Spice, it happened that the particular morning that I was looking at LC, I just said, oh man, I think I'll just go back to the handbook with the charts. I was doing this when I was playing with the low pass filter for the MOSFET amp. Yes, and 42. We'll have to ask the HF Packer guys if that was if there's some cosmological mystical significance to the price on that amplifier. It might mean that it's the answer to all of your RF problems. Yeah, they're talking about using it as a driver, but of course, the 5 watts is a nice figure for a QRP, or so it could be the final for us. Just put the LP filter there at the end. What else? Let's see. I got a few things from the mailbag here I wanted to mention. Well, we can do that in a bit. Might be time to wrap up here, though, Mike. I'm about to talk down, I think. Let's see what else. I've been listening to the aircraft radio a little bit, and I haven't done anything further with the Indian satellite, but I'm tempted. There's been very, very little or no astronomical activity here in central London. This is a difficult place for astronomy. During the winter, we're covered by clouds, and in the summer, where there's fewer clouds, there's no darkness. It gets dark so late and light so early. It's a tough environment for astronomy. So my telescope has been sitting forlornly in the corner here, unused. KL7R, M0HBR.
Oh, that's too bad. We the sun comes up here about 3:30 at night in the morning, and doesn't really go down till about 11. And we're nowhere near the Arctic Circle, and we've had the high overcast the past 2 days. But I was watching that Horkheimer, is that his name, on public broadcasting. He does an astronomy show, and he said that these next few days we're going to have a lunar eclipse, and you're going to be able to see Mercury in the morning and Saturn and Titan really close. He said really good viewing, but you got to be able to get through the sun and get through the clouds there, Bill. I guess I'm winding down too. If you want, we can wait here till you dig up the mailbag. Otherwise, we'll just continue on here. I'm going to join the HF Packer Yahoo group here and see if I can get that schematic. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, okay. Yeah, great. Well, let's see. I'm going to have to bang the gong softly because we have house guests. And it is 6:50 a.m. here. I don't want the gong to disturb anybody. So here's a very soft Solder Smoke gong this morning. That brings us to Solder Smoke Mailbag. And we have special honorable mention for Jerry Alpha Alpha 6 Kilo India, who sent us a really excellent podcast cartoon. It just cracked me up. It's about lamp talk. And I put it on the Gadgeteer blog. If you go to my website, it's www.gadgeteer.us. There's a link to the blog, and if you go to the link and click on the link to the blog, the Gadgeteer blog, you'll see the cartoon there, and it really cracked me up. It was really good. So thanks very much to Jerry for sending us that. And then just this morning, an email came in from Mike, WA6ARA, and he was commenting on a discussion of the Indian amateur radio satellite, VO-52. I think it's good to refer to it as VO-52. Sometimes they call it AO-52, but VO-52, the V is for VUSAT. And it gives due credit to the Indian radio amateurs who put it together. And Mike points out that this is a really good satellite for QRPers, and he's using a low power. He's using 5 watts from an FT817 for the uplink, and for downlink he's using a Hamtronics converter to an Argonaut 509. So there's a very fine QRP setup. He says he makes lots of contacts through it, but he's disappointed that there isn't more activity up there. He encourages other QRPers to get on board with VL52. The satellite work, it is a real interesting way to add something new to your ham radio repertoire. And I've always had a lot of fun with the sats, and I know you have too. All right, let's see. I guess that wraps it up for this week's edition of Solder Smoke 24. Mike, have a real good Memorial Day. I say that to all the listeners out there, and please, we're interested in feedback, so if you have any ideas, any thoughts or suggestions, please send them to me, m2cqr@arrl.net, and I'll make sure they reach our Juno office also, KL7R-M0HBR.
All right, Bill. Yeah, your soft gong was great, and congratulations to the fellow there with the QRP satellite rig. That's really resourceful. All right, Bill. Have a good evening. I think I'll get a little rest here, and I'll maybe talk to you next week. Enjoy your Memorial Day there, Bill. 0HBR KL7R 73.